Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bears fans, it's time for On the Clock with a Score Zone Mark Grody covering the latest on another potential historic draft. Featuring experts and analysis on this red-hot offseason storyline that's the headline of the league. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Mark Grody.
We're talking Bears and we are talking NFL draft, and as the gentleman said in the intro, we tried to get some of the best NFL experts on this program, and I believe that we have once again succeeded because we will have a couple of gold star analysts tonight on the clock, one of whom is Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. She is an analytics expert. And she has her own metric, as a matter of fact, called win share, which would be comparable, or you can make an analogy to baseball and the WAR stat, wins above replacement. So we'll talk to Cynthia Freeland a little bit about that and how that could apply to some of the free agent signings that the Chicago Bears have already made. I also know that she had done a mock draft, and I was just looking at the mock draft, and it blew me away from the very beginning. Now, after I had looked through it a little bit, I realized that it's a bit dated. February 9th, which does make all the difference when I tell you the first couple of picks that she has. But February 9th is obviously before free agency. It's also before the combine, where a lot of good information comes out. And I was there a couple of weeks ago. So keep that in mind. But at the top of her mock draft from February 9th, she had the Bears at number one taking Joe Alt, Notre Dame tackle. Joe Alt, the Notre Dame tackle. At two, she had Caleb Williams going to Washington. Drake May to the Patriots at number three. Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr. at number four. With the fifth pick, Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. Haven't seen a lot of that. Again, February 9th. Giants at number six, she had Roma Dunze. At number seven, Olufashinu to the Tennessee Titans. Olufashinu is the Penn State offensive tackle. Falcons, Jaden Daniels. Bears at number nine, she mocked Malik Nabers at number nine. And at 10, Talisi Fuaga, another tackle. But point is, man, she was definitely had some creative thoughts there in terms of what her mock draft was. Maybe we'll talk to her about that, but again, that's from February 9th. I'm sure her thoughts have probably changed on that. So we'll talk to Cynthia a little bit later on about the Bears and the draft. And also forthcoming here in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting, and he's also the director of the Shrine Bowl. He's one of those guys you could ask about any prospect and he can give you an answer. So we'll talk to him here in just a few minutes. As you know, the big deal for the Bears that we've been talking about all day here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score is the acquisition of wide receiver Keenan Allen from the Chargers for a fifth-round pick. The deal sort of came out last night, was made official today. Keenan Allen, the veteran, the Pro Bowler, multiple 1,000-yard seasons in the 13 games last year. Allen had 108 catches, 1,243 yards, and 7 touchdowns to go. So I don't really have to talk you into what a good deal that is for the Bears in terms of giving up what they did and you get a guy who you can pair with DJ Moore. You know what DJ Moore can do, who can go along with a constantly improving Cole Kmet, a professional tight end in Gerald Everett that they brought in, and of course DeAndre Swift as well. And by the way, I think I said fourth round pick was what the Bears gave up to get Keenan Allen on their roster. And we'll continue to talk about that. But one thing now, as you look at the Bears draft and the numbers that they have, they are dwindling. The Bears are down to 4 total picks in the draft, as they've given up a couple of draft picks now in trades in the offseason, the one that I just told you about with Keenan Allen, and of course the other one that came a couple of weeks ago, and that was the Ryan Bates acquisition, which they gave up a fifth rounder to get a guy in Ryan Bates who is able to play any position on your interior and has had plenty of experience at multiple positions. So I think that both of those deals were good, worth it. But again, the Bears are down to 4 total picks for the 2024 draft. The number 1 overall pick, the number 9 overall pick. The Bears also have a pick in the 3rd round. They also have a selection in the 4th round. So now you start to think, all right, what can you do with the number 9 overall pick? If Caleb Williams is it at number 1, and we'll continue to explore that further as well. Yeah, it makes your brain go to defense, because at 9 is a chance that if the Bears were thinking defense at 9, that they could get the best possible player in the draft, at least according to the Chicago Bears. And that could be the best defensive lineman in the draft. That could be the best defensive end, edge rusher in the draft that the Bears need. But hold on. Could the Bears strike again on offense, as in wide receiver again, let's bring in Eric Galco again of Optimum Scouting, and he is also the director of the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah, it seems like it's trending that way. I think you mentioned something at the top that people aren't quite kind of figuring out yet, is that the Bears have so few draft picks, and even though they've added 10 players, I think they expect to be in their 2-deep depth chart. Some being starters like Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift, some being like quality backups, but it's still, that's still not a lot of draft picks for a team that's still hoping to be on the upswing. So I think trading back from 9 would be something that'd be really apparent and really clear to me, because the two spots they may go are offensive line and receiver, which those are the two deepest parts of this draft. But if they stayed put at 9, I think adding receiver is still very much a priority for them, in my opinion, at least. They can have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore play in the slot and be a matchup guy there. Being an outside receiver would be ideal. Marvin Harrison won't approach the 9th pick in the draft, although I know they like Marvin Harrison quite a bit. But Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze are the next two guys, I think, for most teams. And then Brian Thomas of LSU, Malik Nabers' teammate, is a 4. And I think you'll see before the draft that some teams may think that he's the 3rd best guy in this draft. There are some people I know that think he is just as good, if not better, in a little different way than Malik Nabers. So I think those are the next 3 guys. And honestly, whenever the run starts, I think if Bears fans leave with Malik Nabers, Rome, or Brian Thomas, they should be pretty excited about the weapons they put around their future quarterback.
Yeah, Brian Thomas, just for people who don't know much about Brian Thomas Jr., because we talk so much here at The Score about Rome Odunze and Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., but Brian Thomas Jr., LSU 6'4", 205, he was a hooper. What about Keon Coleman? That's another guy that maybe doesn't get enough attention out of Florida State, 6'3", 215. Is he a guy that's going to be in that barrage of wide receivers going off the board, or is he the little bit lesser?
No, he'll be somewhere in the second round of the draft. And one of the interesting things right now, I'm talking with teams, and especially at the receiver and offensive line, especially offensive tackle, is it is so deep, and how does that play out on draft day, right? Can you get a guy who would go top, you know, first round some years at the end of the second round because it's so deep, but not every team has a dying need at receiver, or does it still make sense to get the guy you want at the top two? And I think Keon Coleman is a great example of hey, he's a notch below a guy like Romo Dunze and plays a little similar to him. But the question is, can I get Keon Coleman in the middle or end of the second round? And is it worth, you know, going someplace else in the first round as well, too? So there'll be some game theory going out receiver in and offensive line. But Keon Coleman's definitely a player that NFL teams think can start early on in his NFL career, despite that slow 40 time.
And just to be clear, you have Marvin Harrison as your number one, and then you kind of put Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze, like you're getting a great product no matter what with those two guys, or is one of those two guys, Nabers or Dunze, ahead of the others? Or, since you mentioned him, Brian Thomas Jr. too.
Yeah, I think that's the three-pack. I think it's, you know, it's Marvin, Gap, and then Nabers, Adunze, and Brian Thomas. I think they're all a little different. Rome is a guy I trust to be more of an X in the NFL tomorrow. Malik can play X and Z, but not as big as the other two guys are. Brian Thomas is 6'4", and a notch slower than Xavier Worthy, who's the fastest player ever at the combine. That's pretty unique. So yeah. I think all three of those guys, it's more about what you may need in your offense versus how you like them better. I guess if I had a gun in my head, I'd probably say Rome is next, but all three guys would have been the first year in last year's draft for sure.
Yeah, Roma Dunze's stock seemed to go up at the combine, so I think there's a lot of people that, I think, honestly, like at least the way I saw it, before the combine, it felt like it was Malik Nabers. After the combine, it was Roma Dunze, but as you said, just by a little bit, if you're having to actually say one is better than the others, it feels like Adunze has some serious momentum going. We're talking to Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting. He is the director of the Shrine Bowl. I'm Mark Grody. This is On the Clock. And all right, we've wasted enough time not talking about Caleb Williams and the quarterback class. Let's start with Caleb Williams and what you have seen of him and what your scouting eye says about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good player. He's shown the ability to win from the pocket, and I think most importantly, to improvise with control outside the pocket. And in my experience, especially the last couple of years, kind of what's the common thread between, as I tell people, Pat Mahomes and Brock Purdy, right? Very different players, athletically, stylistically, arm talent-wise, but the common thread with those two guys, with Josh Allen, with other guys maybe limited in the pocket too, is the ability to improvise when things go wrong and off script. That's what has successful quarterbacks in college to the NFL level. And I think that's what Caleb shows. I think, you know, to be as a possible weakness is that sometimes he will look to improvise too quickly and kind of make plays and kind of have a check down that's there. But that feels like a pretty easy thing to fix as well, too. I think NFL teams know that as a quarterback, as a player, football IQ-wise, he can handle a lot right away. And it feels like his best comp in terms of stylistically feels like Aaron Rodgers after sitting with Brett Favre for 3 years. Like he's kind of skipping those steps as long as, by the way, he's only 22 years old.
Wow. So you are, the fact that you said he can handle a lot right away, that suggests to me that you think he can start from day one, not going to need time to sit on the bench and watch whomever the Bears would throw out there.
I think with his experience, his deserved kind of prestige, I think he's going to walk in the door, whether it's the Bears or anybody who's picking first overall. And if he's not your week one starter, you probably shouldn't trade a pick by then. But no, he'll walk in the door with his kind of confidence and demeanor and his talent, and he'll be the guy for sure week one too. And, you know, his success level will depend on how much better he can get. You know, as special of a player as Caleb Williams is, we've seen special quarterbacks like Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, and it takes time, and these guys have to get better, and there's no player out of college football that is ready to play in the NFL tomorrow at a high level. So I think the only question for Caleb, if there is a question, is will he still continue to get better? Because if he does, I think he'll be one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the NFL in the next 4 or 5 years. He has that kind of talent.
Wow. And I love, and you said it a couple times, improvise with control. That is a difficult trick to turn. I mean, we've seen other quarterbacks try that and fail. So that is, I'm kind of clinging to that. beyond Caleb Williams, the next two guys, Drake May and Jaden Daniels, it seems like those two guys are paired together. And I only say that because there's a lot of people who think Jaden Daniels would be the second quarterback off the board. A lot of people have Drake May. How do you scout these two quarterbacks, Drake May and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think they're different in a lot of ways. I think that's more about kind of the scheme you want to run. Jaden's deep ball has made great improvements, but I think Drake may have him there versus I think Jaden Daniels on working through short area progressions and winning in the mid part of the field is probably a little more consistent than Drake May. And both very good athletes, both guys who have a ton of potential to still get better. Maybe Drake May's built a little better versus Jaden being a more dynamic runner. In the open field, they showed this year at LSU, but really both two guys that I think are really exciting prospects. They're not maybe as refined and you can't be as positive as you can be on Caleb Williams' talent, but I think both those guys, again, it's more about what your scheme may want. And the Commanders with Cliff Kingsbury, you know, you may say, hey, they may prefer a Jaden Daniels type of quarterback who can kind of really hit those initial quick reads, quick throws they did at a high level versus, you know, something like the Patriots or someone trading up for a guy like Drake May. May prefer a guy who can finish the ball downfield better and be more of a Justin Herbert type pocket passer to move a little bit too. So I think both these guys have a ton of talent. And I think, again, it's more about what you need in your offensive scheme versus who's better the other one.
The only other quarterback I want to ask you about, because it's really difficult to project this guy, at least for me it is, that's J.J. McCarthy, the national champion winning quarterback from Michigan. Some people have him going in the top seven, some, you know, way towards the end of the first round. What's your eye on J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, he'll go in the top six, seven picks. I'd be floored if he didn't, just based off where things are going. And yeah, I think it's hard to evaluate JJ, not because he's not a good quarterback, it's because there's a limited sample size in some ways.
Yeah.
But I think the really, you know, the way that I've always been a fan of JJ and have advocated and talking with people and teams and scouts is if you just watch all four of these quarterbacks, including Caleb Williams, just on third down, and just watch what they do in those third down situations, especially third and four when they're probably going to pass and the defense knows it. And JJ is probably the best of all of them, including Caleb. And I think when he's had those chances and he has to step and make a throw, it's there. And then you factor in the fact that, hey, unlike Drake and Jaden and Caleb, JJ's throwing the ball 15, 20 times a game, so he's not as in rhythm all the time to kind of step in when it's third down, the defense knows it's coming, you can't run the ball and still complete those throws with the ability to have your receivers on after the catch. It's really, really impressive and a trait that, you know, some people compare him to Mac Jones. I know Mac Jones is no longer a guy the team feels is a good comparison, but I think a more athletic, higher upside version of Mac Jones, I think, is really exciting for NFL teams, and that's why I think he's still a guy that wants to go, that will go in the top, probably a top six picks overall.
Man, I you know, here I thought I was crazy in my mock draft. I had him going six to the, or have him going six to the New York Giants, and you have backed me up with a little bit more credibility. So I do appreciate that, Eric, for sure. I mean, I'll tell you what, he's another guy who, I don't know if you went to the combine, but the buzz at the there was a lot of buzz around J.J. McCarthy for sure.
It's hard to find a franchise quarterback, and what franchise quarterback even means is tough to say, but you know, I think it was half of the teams that have been to the Super Bowl the last 10 years have either had one of the three best quarterbacks of all time, Kyle Shanahan, or a rookie contract quarterback. So there's a lot of reasons why teams are saying, hey, if we're close and we don't have one of the best head coaches or coordinators or one of the best quarterbacks in the league, we're better off running one with a rookie contract quarterback. And that's why I think teams are going to say, hey, J.J. McCarthy has won a national championship. He's smart enough and has won a pro-style scheme. He can probably be a guy that can be a playoff-level quarterback even at the end of his rookie year because he's done it. And if we can build a team around him in the next 2-3 years, we have a chance to have real advantage when building a roster. So for all those reasons of why guys like J.J. McCarthy, despite maybe some question marks, hey, they can win on a good team, and if you can build a good team around them, it's hard to find those kind of guys.
Talking to Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting and director of the Shrine Bowl. That said, last year, Zay Flowers used that East-West game to start his momentum all the way up to the first round. Are there some guys like that that you can pick from this year's game that may have improved their stock, or guys that names that we should keep our ears on and eyes on right now?
Yeah, Zay Flowers is a one of one in a lot of ways. So finding another Zay Flowers, like finding another Brock Purdy, which I'm not going to do that one either, I don't think. But there are some players I think really helped themselves that week. And whether you're a team looking for a receiver or a fantasy football fan to guys like Malik Washington of Virginia. He'll be a second, third round pick, but he'll probably catch 60 passes next year. He had 120 catches at Virginia this past year. Super high character, really impressive there. Two Texas players, Jonathan Brooks, running back, and JT Sanders, tight end, both at Texas. Both, unfortunately, weren't 100% for the Shrine Bowl, but really impressed NFL teams and interviews. They'll be two guys that'll go, again, high in fantasy football mock drafts, and probably both of them in the second round of the NFL draft. Jonathan Brooks, especially, is a really talented running back. And then linebacker-wise, Edgerrin Cooper, good chance he's the first linebacker drafted overall. He was at the Shrine Bowl this past year, and if not a first-round pick, he'll be an early second-round pick with a lot of talent. And there were some teams that kind of compared him to Tremaine Edmonds, current Bears linebacker as well.
Wow. Okay. Good stuff right there. I appreciate that. When you were in Dallas, any conversations with the Bears people there? Any of the Bears bosses talk to you, or did you have any interactions with them?
Nothing that I can give some good intel here overall. Okay. But they were there, and we're there in full force, and the Bears have done a great job the last couple of years in drafting. 2 years ago at the Shrine Bowl, they found a guy after the draft, and crazy as it was after the draft, and Jack Sanborn. And now he's our starting linebacker, too. So the Bears have done a really good job scouting and using the draft process as they kind of rebuilt this team. And, you know, one of the ways as a team you can be aggressive in free agency and in trades is if you draft well for the back end of your roster. And the Bears have done that at a pretty high level, and whether it's draft or UDFAs, and put them in a position to be successful now, too. So I think the Bears are kind of – I think there's a lot of feel that, hey, this is our year to take that big, big jump because what we've done the last 2 years, and that starts at – the Shrine Bowl in the draft process.
And you talked about, too, another position. You've mentioned how the offensive line class is strong this year. The Bears they've been in the market for a center. They traded a fifth-round pick to get Ryan Bates in here, a dude that Ryan Poles has been liking for the last couple of years. They just signed another potential center in Coleman Shelton. It seems like he would, at this point, he would be their starter. But are there any players that you look at in the later rounds, 75 to 122, say, that could fit that mold for the Bears, that could potentially be an interior offensive lineman and specifically a center?
Yeah, I can't speak to the Bears' exact needs, but they feel like a team that's saying, hey, we want to address as many baseline needs as we can, but if we can still upgrade these positions, let's do that. I think if the Bears can find a good interior offensive lineman or two in the draft that they like, they'll happily push a guy to the bench they just signed to, if they can get the right rookie. The guy that jumps out, Hunter Norzad out of Penn State, a center, he's going to be somewhere in that range, as you mentioned, somewhere between the late second to the early fourth round. He just had his pro day at Penn State, and he's a guy NFL teams really like. I think he fits the Bear scheme very well, can possibly play guard. He played that at Penn State 2 years ago, and he's a great example of a guy that I think teams can look at on day two of the draft and say, hey, if he's our backup interior offensive lineman and center for the first year, great. If he can start for us, we find a starter in the second, third round. And I think for a team like the Bears, they feel like they have a lot of short-term needs addressed, but the draft, we fill those long-term needs, right? Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton may not be the long-term answers. They may be the answers this year. And I think if they can find a guy like Hunter Norzad or Jalen Sundell of North Dakota State, similar type of range too, that could be their long-term answer, all the better.
What do you think about the draft in general, Eric, in terms of how strong it is this year all the way through?
Kind of the opposite. It's a very lackluster draft towards the back end. And that's, I think, a good thing for college athletics. A lot of players had the option to go back to school and return to school, and that's great for players. It's kind of hurt NFL teams in terms of being really confident they can find rotational players in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Very, very strong receiver class, very, very strong offensive line, especially offensive tackle class, which NFL teams will never complain about. And then quarterbacks, there'll be some depth, especially with fewer teams maybe needing 2-, 3-, 4-year quarterbacks moving forward, all the free agency and trade movement so far. But definitely receiver and offensive line strong, defensively pretty weak across the board. And I think NFL teams by round four, round five, you might see some teams trading future draft picks to get fourth or fifth round picks this year because their fifth, sixth, seventh won't be much value this year.
Defensive end was really deep last year in the draft. How do you look at that, the crop of the top guys like Dallas Turner and Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, Leatu Latu? Like, is that, like, how does this class compare with last year's defensive end class? And is there a guy that stands out edge rusher wise?
Yeah, it's definitely weaker. I think especially in that mid part of the tier two, there's not many guys in this year's class past the top four or five that would have been top 100 the last 2 years. So it's more of a group that, hey, if he is a starter, Jared Verse and Dallas Turner are absolutely fantastic prospects. Latu has some medical questions teams have to kind of get through, but otherwise he's a good player as well, too. And then after those top three or four guys, it becomes a, hey, can this guy be our third edge rusher? I think one thing that's interesting for edge rusher position in general is it's become a position where teams are willing to spend $8, $9, $10 million a year on a rotational player. That's such an important position now in the NFL that if you can find a third edge rusher and a third designated pass rusher for your defense in the second round, he's just your backup, that's still probably worth it too. So I think a lot of NFL teams would wish this class was deeper. That's why you saw a lot of edge rushers get paid a good bit in free agency, but no doubt this class is not as strong as it has been in years past.
Yeah, I agree. Last guy I want to ask you about, and this is selfish because in the Bears mock draft that I did, I had them trading down to the Raiders. I think it was 13 is where the Raiders are, and I had the Bears eventually taking tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia. What do you think, Eric Gelko, of Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia?
Certainly a unique tight end, not as big as guys we've seen go early in the draft in the past. A good, not special athlete, but his film just says, hey, this guy's going to make plays and catch passes in the NFL. He can block at a high level. He makes tremendous ball skills as a tight end, wins consistently against really good linebackers and safeties at the college level, too. And I think he'll be a little bit more of a matchup-based player than he will be a George Kittle, Travis Kelce, you know, Rob Gronkowski, just put him at tight end and let your offense go. But I think that being said, finding matchup guys like Brock Bowers are pretty rare. So don't be surprised if he slips past the top 10, 15 picks or so. But I think that middle of the first, I mean, back into the first round, a team's going to say, you know what, he's going to just be an offensive weapon for us, and we'll find a way to use him pretty early on, too. But I think a guy that unique doesn't got a top 20, 25 picks. But I think right where you have him at 13, 18 of the Bengals is one that jumps out for a lot of teams that could be a good fit. I think a lot of teams like that will love to have a guy like Brock Bowers in their offense.
Great stuff, Eric. Really appreciate you coming on the clock, and I'm sure that we will talk to you at some point in time again. Appreciate you, man.
Look forward to it. Appreciate it.
Yep, that is Eric Gelko of Optimum Scouting and the director of the Shrine Bowl. I am Mark Grody. We'll take a quick break and come back here on the Clock.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Cynthia, the impact that you see Kirk Cousins next year with Atlanta.
Well, I use win share, which is a metric that's a little bit like WAR in baseball or player efficiency rating in basketball. And for me, he ranks at 4.7, which ranks at number 13 as of right now. Now, remember, there are some things that are going to happen in the draft. But as of right now, in terms of who the forecast starters are, he's your 13th highest rated guy.
Freeland of the NFL Network, and we get to talk to her here in just a couple of minutes as we welcome you back into On the Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody talking Bears and about the NFL draft as well. And we invite you to tune in Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. for BetQL's Countdown to Tip-Off as Nick Costos and Ken Barkley break down the brackets immediately after they are released. Who will be their best bet to cut down the nets? It's Countdown to Tip-Off from BetQL live Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Well, let's bring in Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. She is an analytics expert, and she has a lot of really good information from some of the stuff that I've been reading. So it is a pleasure to bring in Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome into On the Clock on The Score. How are you tonight?
It is so great to hear a Midwestern accent. I love it. I'm obviously from the Midwest. It feels like home. Happy Friday. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's great. I'll really do it up in this interview. I'll do it super
good.
Fan
I love
style.
It. I seriously love it. I miss it. But especially, I have more of like a Michigan one because I'm from East Lansing. So like the mom, cottage.
There's a lot of Michigan folks that live in the city of Chicago. So I don't know what does to their accent then, some sort of hybrid probably. But there's so many Michigan and Michigan State bars in the city of Chicago.
Oh, I had a lot of fun at Duffy's. I miss Duffy's, I'm not going to lie.
Nice.
Maybe like a little too much fun there, but, you know, it was good. It was good.
That's what it's all about. Well, Cynthia, this is perfect because I've been catching up on a couple of your articles, including the one that is slugged NFL free agency deals, three good fits and three head scratchers in the frenzy's opening wave. And pardon me for kind of going at this like mid sentence here, but this is where I was and it caught my attention. One of the you broke it down again into the head scratchers and some good fits. One of the head scratchers you had got my attention, and that was Darnell Mooney going to Atlanta. Why don't you like Darnell Mooney, the former Chicago Bear, going to Atlanta?
It's not so much that I don't like Darnell Mooney. It's that, well, one, he didn't even he had some issues catching the ball last year, whether or not they were his fault. That's
he did.
Debated. But it's more what the deal was. He got the same deal as Gabe Davis and the same deal as Saquon Barkley. So do we value all three of those players the same way? No. You know, I know Darnell Mooney, he ran a really fast 40, I understand, 4.38. But there were some questions there. Separation was not his forte. So I think if you're going to spend the kind of money that they spent down in Atlanta on a guy like Darnell Mooney, you have expectations that exceed what we can reasonably think what he's going to be able to achieve next season.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I mean, and I was a little surprised, I'll be honest, just having watched him up close that last year, like you said, there were some drops. I know that Justin Fields is going to get some of the blame or does get some of the blame. None of us could really quite figure it out, but it was not a great year for him heading into free agency, but good for Darnell Mooney. He gets his cash. What did you think about the big headline probably in the entire NFL? We're just in our Chicago bubble here, Cynthia, but Keenan Allen to the Bears from the Chargers, and the Bears give up a fourth rounder to get the all-pro Keenan Allen.
Well, my college friend Ryan Poles made a very savvy business deal there. That's a really good deal. Yeah, we went to Boston College together. We were at
the
same time. Yeah, Ryan was an O-lineman. He tells me nothing. You know, unfortunately, I try to, like, you know, ask him for some tips and advice, and he wants to talk about my golf game, which sucks. So, you know that's how things go, right?
Okay. Now I don't feel so bad when I don't get the responses I want from him. Thank you.
No, he's like a stone wall. If you want to talk golf, he'll talk golf all day long. But
Okay. I will try that.
But not football. Anyways, but no, it was a savvy deal. The Chargers were one of the, like, really interesting, the cap situation for the Chargers, you know, Tom Telesco left them for the Raiders in a lot of cap issues, having a lot of cap issues, even with the cap going up so dramatically. So unfortunately, Keenan Allen, or fortunately for the Bears, but unfortunately for the Chargers, Keenan Allen was just not in their plans at the number. I think it was, you know, he had a big number. That was a big number that he, you know, was slated to make. And if you don't have the space, then unfortunately it's hard for any team to keep him, especially when with a new regime, the first time they've had a new GM and maybe three coaches. And of course, we know Jim Harbaugh is not going to, he's not sitting there being like, do whatever you want, you know, just tell me later. I'll make it work.
Right. Exactly. That is not going to go down. Yeah. I was just looking at the base salary for Keenan Allen, $18.1 million with a $5 million bonus. So, yeah, that's where we're looking at numbers-wise there for Keenan.
There's some dead money that from the way that it was, you know, amortized on their on the Chargers cap table, though. It was more like it's going to look different for the Bears, but, you know, they have to account for the way that they slotted his the way the money works is always tricky. And unfortunately for the Chargers, they're still paying for his services from previous years.
Ah, okay. Yep. Something I knew it was something in that area. All right, so we're checking off the things that I have written jotted down here for you, Cynthia Freeland. Next issue. None of these are necessarily in any particular order, but I'm going to put, to use your words, Justin Fields head scratcher because he is still with the Chicago Bears. Is that a head scratcher to you?
Honestly, no. I realize that this free agency has been extremely active early. You know, I think, and obviously part of that is because the cap went up higher than people anticipated, maybe $15 million more than anyone thought. And I don't think anyone thought it was going to be 255.8 or whatever it is. So, you know, I think that we've seen a lot of teams move around. And of course, that, with Kirk Cousins moving and all that guaranteed money, I mean, who is luckier than that man? He like hit it just right in free agency every single time. And then ultimately, Russell Wilson's deal, you know, you don't usually see a guy who's counting for like the entire Broncos salary cap moving to another team. So it's just some strange things happen. But I don't necessarily think it's weird that Justin Fields hasn't been traded if that's what the plan is, because there's always a lot of time between now and when the football gets played. And when you were sitting having the first draft pick, it's not like you need to add draft capital in order to trade up to get the guy you want. You're already sitting at one. So what's the incentive? When do you have the most leverage? And you weigh all the different deals that come across your desk. You negotiate them as best you can and have to make a decision if that's what you think the best outcome is going to be for the team or not. And clearly that hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's weird. We're going to keep seeing quarterbacks shuffle for a while now. Sure. I mean, do you really think that some of these teams are going to go with their, you know, what's going on in Washington? That's not who the starters are going to be.
Right, right, exactly. I don't think Sam Darnold is poised to be the starter in week one for the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings are drafting a quarterback. Nobody's told me that, but the fact that Kwesi, who's a quote-unquote analytics GM, has two first-round picks now means they're trying to figure out a different no one's told me this. Like, it's not breaking news, right?
I hear you.
It just seems like if I'm reading the tea leaves, they're at least trying to be able to get within striking distance of a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, I agree with that. And don't worry, you are not responsible for anything you say on this show, Cynthia. I have got you covered for the next few minutes, all right?
Perfect. I mean, I'm happy to be responsible for what I say. Like, I just don't want people to think I'm, like, reporting, because to me, it's just clues and trying to understand how negotiations work.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's a distinction worth making, as you did, especially around here, where it's so crazy in terms of Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. So anything, any information that I put or any of my fellow colleagues put out there, it better be something, you know, that is steeped in some sort of reality. So actually, your clarification was very good, because I could relate.
I love Chicagoans. I love how much they care about every single syllable of sports radio. Like, it makes me happy. It's so nice. I live in Los Angeles. I could go around being like, hey, guys, I think Caleb Williams told me he wants to start for the Rams. And people would be like, cool, man. Have a good tour later.
Right, you know, right.
Like, no one, like, come on, care.
Yeah, they get around to stuff on the West Coast, right? They get around to it, but around here, oh no, absolutely, everything is an emergency. This whole offseason has been an emergency. Like, we have been like reacting to the emergency that is the Chicago Bears this entire offseason.
That's right. But that's the best part. Like, I seriously love Bears fans. Like, so much fun. But I mean, you got to be careful. You can't say, you got to watch your tense. These are smart people. There are little sleuths trying to figure out any sort of, did she say past tense there? Was it the present participle? I don't even know what that means.
Right. Past participle. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, spot on. Okay, so in the spirit of that, Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network, do you stand by your February 9th mock draft?
I mean, my mock draft and before the Super Bowl was one that was basically, it's a theoretical exercise. I loved how mad Chicagoans got at me. It was so funny. It was, they didn't read the top. The exercise was to see the change in time because we knew free agency was going to be wild. I didn't know it was going to be this wild, but we knew it was going to be an interesting free agency period. So what we did was we just started with a theoretical mock draft, taking the best player that would add to win totals for next season, meaning who you don't get to choose, like no trades unless they're actually already made, or no, you know, cuts other than we knew Russell Wilson was already going to be cut, unless they were like very well announced ahead of time, like, that's what we have to go on. And obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be mad if you take a tackle. The O-line allowed Justin Fields to be the most pressured quarterback, so nobody wants that to happen again, no matter who is under center, out of the shotgun, or doing a, you know, five-step drop back.
Yes. No, that's another good distinction, a good clarification, as well as you see. So if you're looking at it, make sure you read the top part. But, yeah, it is Joe Alt right there at the top, the big kid out of Notre Dame. A lot of people in the Chicagoland area have certainly followed him. I definitely want to get into a few of the free agents the Bears have. But first of all, I had told our audience that you have your own metric called Winshare. Could you give us a brief, some clarity on what that is specifically?
Yep. So similar to how there's WAR in baseball, wins above replacement, or player efficiency rating, PER, in the NBA, you're trying to isolate the value a player has to their particular team. So I just tied everything. And by the way, you can blame everyone at Northwestern and actually the University of Chicago for this, because that's where I got my master's and I paid a lot of money to do this nerdy stuff.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, yeah, I'm still paying for that. If they want to give me a discount on my student loans, that would be great. But ultimately, it ties everything back to probability of earning a first down or touchdown on each drive for offensive players and the probability of stopping it for defensive players. Special teams, they add in, you know, what is the effect of starting field position or thusly stopping it, and that's kind of how it all relates. So, you know, a very, very good top-of-the-line quarterback is the most valuable position. You know, Patrick Mahomes will add 5.7 wins to his team's bottom line in a season. Like a defensive end or even left tackles, they can be closer to two. Aaron Donald, who just retired a couple of years ago, he had the highest for a sort of rusher that I've seen, and that was like 2.4, and that was before 17 game season. So that kind of gives you the breakdown for those positions.
Yeah, boy, that 17-game season part, you do have to take new perspective, and there's new math that goes with it, and like a 1,000-yard season is not as – I don't think people will ever get past thinking a 1,000-yard season is a big deal, but you got – what is it, 1,200 now to make that feel like a standard now with 17 games, something like that?
Yeah, I don't think it was quite 1,200 because that would be like 200 more than, you know, a 16-game season in one game.
So, okay.
I mean, but I do think it does need to be ratcheted up. I will say the biggest impact it's had, though, there's actually two things. One, it drove up the value for a backup quarterback. So now the value of a backup quarterback is roughly equal to that of a wide receiver, too, if you're looking only on a win share basis. So that's very valuable. And two, you know, when you're looking at the unique schedule everyone has, the fact that if you were a fourth place team playing an additional fourth place team from the previous year finisher, that can have an impact too. So those are the two ways that's been the most dramatic. I don't care about individual stat numbers for stat lines. 1,000 yards will always be worth it, but
yeah.
You know, but it does make your backup quarterback plans. Brett Rippin, very important.
yes, Brett Rippin. It's interesting you say that because we talked about it at the very beginning of this interview that Kirk Cousins is the big one. We know that he is going to be a starter, but some of these other guys, their depth pieces and the import, it feels like, Cynthia, it feels like the import of the backup quarterback is being taken more seriously than it ever has been, or at least from like what I can remember.
Well, last year we had the most unique different starters at the quarterback position that we've seen. The year before that, I think we were in the top five for all-time highs. Now you're adding in that 17th game. It's extremely important because now you're adding another, you know, percentage to the season. So I can see why, you know, people are placing a lot of value on that. The fact, you know, it's rare to see a starting quarterback play an entire season, maybe one game here or there, but it does actually, I mean, even Patrick Mahomes for many seasons misses a game or two.
Yeah, yeah. You have to assume that your quarterback is going to be out for, say, three games. Just put that down as an arbitrary average number, and that's what teams have to do and say, how seriously are we going to take those three games? So that's really good stuff. Just a couple more minutes here with Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. What do you think about the Bears and signing of DeAndre Swift to this team, because I think that was one of their bigger free agent signings, and I don't know if you're able to apply your win share metric to it at this point.
Yeah, I think we looked at it's a little unfair to look at it at this point because it won't look as good as it would ahead of the season when the O-line's a bit more sorted.
Okay.
I know there were a few O-line moves, but wait till that, because a part of what DeAndre Swift becomes so valuable in is versatility in terms of what types of runs, outside, inside, et cetera. Obviously, pass catching as well. He has a lot of value. He's up there. I'll tell you, it's a very good number. I don't know. I don't have the exact number for you, but it'll look better, especially like heading into August, let's say. But I think that's a wonderful signing. I mean, look, Jalen Johnson, I think sometimes we forget in free agency because there's like all these flashy new players coming to these teams. We forget about the, like, hey, getting a really good corner, that's a massive deal.
Yes.
So I think that's like underrated good. Do you know what I mean? Like, we forget because he's not going from a different team. Like, ooh, you snagged him. Nope. You kept him. That's even better. Cause now he can figure out what he's supposed to be doing. You know, he already knows. He doesn't need the time that it would take to learn the new system.
Yeah, no, it's such a great point. Like, as we look at it right now, and maybe we will look back on it when the off season is all said and done and say the best thing that Ryan Poles did was get a multi-year deal done with a premium position at cornerback. And I know, like, that's hard for people to stomach right now, Cynthia, with the Keenan Allen trade acquisition, but great point. That's a premium position, and Jalen Johnson, he's one of the best, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think I tried to look it up, but I think he's around the seventh. He's not in the top five in terms of top five payment numbers, but he certainly has the ability to play at a top five level, especially once the front gets sorted. You know, the back end of the season last year, you saw that defense really get going and get cooking. I think you can really make an argument he's in the top five, but he's not paid like that. So to me, I think that's an exceptional deal that is incentivized with a lot of upside to make him really special. And I think Kevin Byard is a really good deal as well. So the two of them together create a really nice opportunity to, and let's be fair, like, who's, we know Jordan Love's now a good passer. We know Jared Goff's a good passer, but, like, maybe Minnesota, maybe that helps even better when your defense gets better and Minnesota gets worse. Life is good.
Amen. What if Justin Fields goes to Minnesota? No, I don't think that's happening at this point. I think that he would probably be there by now if Minnesota wanted to go
that
direction.
They would
be
the all-petty team then. You know, they'd have, like, Aaron Jones and Justin Fields.
Oh, that's so
all
good.
All petty team. I love a good all-time petty team, though. That would be funny just for, like just for us, you know, outsiders.
Oh, hey, you know what? That's so much better than saying chip on your shoulder. Yeah, that's way better than that. All petty. Never mind chip. Yep. Yes, all petty team. I'm using that.
Yep.
I'm stealing
Perfect.
From you. No, I will totally
Anytime.
Give you the credit. I will give you the credit.
Anytime.
Cynthia, this has been great. Thank you so much for some of your time on a Friday night. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a great night. Thanks for having me. Keep that accent going. I love it. You got to go get some good pizza. I want D'Agostino's. That one's my favorite. I'm missing my Chicago moments right now.
I am going to go get some deep dish pizza right now, and I leave
you
by saying one word, and that is Bears.
Bears.
That is it. That is all. Bye.
Bye.
See you later. That is Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. Really good stuff. Yeah, and I was just bouncing all over the place with her because there were so many things that – jumped out in terms of stuff that she'd written, that mock draft too, and you know, some of what she had, what we talked about at the beginning with Joe Alt at the top. So that was fun. That was really good. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network. We have to take a break. It's On the Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just had a great conversation with Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. If you want to check that out on the Odyssey app, with her metric sensibilities and her own analytics and weighing in on the Bears free agents, very good. You know, and we had two really good guests on this show today as well. And I think one of the most important things that we learned actually from our first guest today, and Eric Galco, as he was the head of the Shrine Bowl, was that this draft, when you get into the later rounds, as he said, it's not that there's ever a lot of gold in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds of the draft, but he said it is not particularly good. So when you consider that the Bears traded a fifth round pick to get a nice depth piece on your offensive line in Bates, that you were able to do that, and then trade a fourth rounder to get Keenan Allen, you know, and if the fourth round is, you know, okay in this year's draft, then you have to look at it. You have to measure it that way, and we still have to find out if it works out. But the math is good. That's what I would say, that the math is that it works in that particular case right there. All right, that is it for today's show. Yes, Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting. He's the director of the Shrine Bowl. He joined us earlier today. You just heard Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network, and Alex Kuhn, who works all week long putting this show together and booking the guests and getting the guests that you hear on the air. So Alex Kuhn doing a great job, and I assume that Kuhn will be hanging out with Big Ant Anthony Heron tonight, who is coming up next. Yes, he is. Big Ant coming up next. He'll be on 7 to 9 right here. The Bears talk continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Have a great night.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock, featuring Mark Grody, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Just had a great conversation with Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. If you want to check that out on the Odyssey app, with her metric sensibilities and her own analytics and weighing in on the Bears free agents, very good. You know, and we had two really good guests on this show today as well. And I think one of the most important things that we learned actually from our first guest today, and Eric Galco, as he was the head of the Shrine Bowl, was that this draft, when you get into the later rounds, as he said, it's not that there's ever a lot of gold in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds of the draft, but he said it is not particularly good. So when you consider that the Bears traded a fifth round pick to get a nice depth piece on your offensive line in Bates, that you were able to do that, and then trade a fourth rounder to get Keenan Allen, you know, and if the fourth round is, you know, okay in this year's draft, then you have to look at it. You have to measure it that way, and we still have to find out if it works out. But the math is good. That's what I would say, that the math is that it works in that particular case right there. All right, that is it for today's show. Yes, Eric Galco of Optimum Scouting. He's the director of the Shrine Bowl. He joined us earlier today. You just heard Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network and Alex Kuhn, who works all week long putting this show together and booking the guests and getting the guests that you hear on the air. So Alex Kuhn doing a great job, and I assume that Kuhn will be hanging out with Big Ant Anthony Heron tonight, who is coming up next. Yes, he is. Big Ant coming up next. He'll be on 7 to 9 right here. The Bears Talk continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Have a great night.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.